Hey Houston, Conn's prices are invincible. That means prices have been cut low, as in amazingly low, as in won't be beat. In fact, we're backing it up with our low price guarantee. Invincible prices on appliances, furniture, electronics, mattresses, and more. Not invincible enough for you? How about free next day delivery on appliances, TVs, and mattresses? And payment options for everyone, whether you have good credit or building it. Visit Conn's today and find out what invincible feels like.
Hey there, thanks so much for joining me on this edition of The Chalene Show, recorded from the front seat of my vehicle with you in the passenger seat. Put your seatbelt on, we're going for a ride.
Welcome to The Chalene Show. Chalene is a New York Times bestselling author, celebrity fitness trainer, and obsessed with helping you live your dream life.
I have to be honest, I'm slightly reluctant to record this episode only because, well, primarily because it's not our fault, but the healthcare system doesn't pay for any of the things that I'm about to share with you. But let's just believe and hold out hope that if we're noisy enough, if we're demanding enough, if we're informed, we can make some changes to the healthcare system, and we need to. And even before that, we need to make changes in the way we view health. So I'm going to share with you today what I'm doing to heal my hamstring avulsion in an attempt to avoid typically a surgical procedure. So usually this injury is something people surgically repair. But everything that I'm going to share with you is related to just healing in general. So this is not necessarily an episode that would only serve you if you had, say, a hamstring injury. The bottom line is, if 80% of the population has leaky gut, that means those are impaired tissues. And I think we can all pretty much assume that 80% of us have leaky gut. That means 80% of us have other ailments that are associated with leaky gut, including weight loss resistance. Like, the fallout of leaky gut is like just about any disease you can think of. So, and why am I bringing up leaky gut when I'm going to talk to you about how I'm trying to heal my hamstring? Because what I'm doing and what I'm going to share with you, all of these practices are things that promote cellular health, healing from the inside out. So this will help you. All of these things are healthy for you and will promote longevity, will promote healing. But I don't want this to, if I can just give you like a legal disclaimer, this isn't medical advice. I'm not telling you to avoid surgery. I'm not telling you not to go to your doctor. Definitely go to your doctor. But this stuff's pretty friggin' interesting. And doctors, I love them, they're pretty busy. And let's face it, they don't have as much time or as interest to research some of these obscure things as maybe we do. So I'm just going to share with you my own opinion, some of the science that I've used to put this protocol together. And just so that you know, I am following a protocol that was designed by myself and my orthopedic surgeon, who also happens to be a longevity specialist. Kind of an interesting combo. It's kind of rare that you see that. Typically, you see someone who, you know, an orthopedic surgeon who operates, and that's all they do is operate. But this guy's freaking so smart. He's, I dare say, 80 years old. My point is, he's at that stage in his life where he's like, yeah, I'm not doing this for the money. I'm doing this because I still find the body fascinating. That would be Dr. Mark Legomme. So let's just talk about healing first. First, let me explain my injury, just because, I don't know, maybe that's interesting to you, maybe it's not. But my injury is called a hamstring avulsion. It occurred while I was roller skating. I don't know if you heard that episode where I described it, but I was roller skating out on the streets. I was going pretty fast. I roller skate a lot. I'm pretty good. I mean, I'm not like going to join any roller derby teams, but like, you know, it comes back when you put the skates back on. So I'm going down the street. I skate indoor and outdoor, and I'm kind of like doing like zigzagging my legs, you know, crisscrossing one in front of the other. And when you do that, the leg that goes out in front, you go up on your front heel, meaning the back wheels, but you don't have much weight on that front skate. Well, I don't know whether it was my back skate or my front skate. One of my skates hit a stone or a rock, and it kind of like stopped me, but my front leg kept going, and it outstretched in a split position to that point where you can feel like, okay, this is the maximum flexibility I have in this moment. Like, you could feel it like stop, and then all of a sudden it went and like gave out, and I didn't hear a pop, but I felt it. I literally felt like, this is gonna be gross. I felt like all my muscles just popped off the bone. And that was almost true. Not all my muscles popped off the bone. Your hamstring is comprised of three muscle groups that make up the hamstring. They are the semimembranosus, the semitendinosus, and the bicep femoris. Now, your bicep femoris, if you've ever seen somebody do a deadlift and thought to yourself, wow, they have nice hamstrings, like that big, thick muscle that runs down the back of your thigh, that's your bicep femoris. That's the biggest part of your hamstring. The semitendinosus and the semimembranosus, those are smaller ones. They kind of wrap from the inside, almost groin area, to the outside of your knee. So, but the origin is at the, I always say the second word wrong, ischiotibiosis, tuberosis, your pelvic bone. How about that? And that's where they originate, okay? All three. Well, two of mine, because of that blunt force trauma, like boom, flying down into the splits on roller skates, pink roller skates, it popped two of those muscles right off the bone, tore them away. 17 millimeters. Sounds big, but it's really not. Think millimeters, tiny. So less than, I think that's less than 2 centimeters. Is that right? A little less than 1/2 inch, the doctor said. So they're off the bone. Okay, I mean, well, I could talk about how painful that was some other day, but let's just talk about what you would normally do. So the orthopedic surgeon said this is the distance that, you know, standard protocol would be to surgically reattach them. They go in, they put usually just sutures and suture it to the bone. I think they call it the pulley technique, and they just kind of pull it up and suture it onto the bone, and then you do rehab for 6 to 8 weeks, right? Kind of, you gotta like let it heal, and then you go back to rehab. So that was one option. I'm like, oh man, seriously? Ugh. And then, you know, you got to wait weeks to have your surgery because that has to get approved, and then you got to get into the right surgeon, and you got to get your second opinion. Okay, fine. So that means a long time. Then the second option, which Dr. Legome presented to me, knowing that I've interviewed him and spent a lot of time learning from him. He's like a mentor to me when it comes to understanding how the body works and how the body heals and all of that beautiful science behind, really the catalyst behind the 131. Anyway, so he knows that I know, that I get it, right? And I'm not interested in doing what's standard. I want to do what's healthiest. So he suggested to me, he's like, listen, you're right on the border. And here's the part that might be a bit controversial. Knowing you can afford to do this, my suggestion to you would be to let it heal naturally, but we'll biohack the healing process. Meaning, instead of focusing on just recovering from a surgery and scheduling a surgery, let's focus on getting your, you know, cellular health on blast. Like, let's supercharge your cellular health. And the reason why I think he was, you know, let's just be honest, the reason why this is going to work is because I can afford to do some of these treatments, because ain't one of them covered by insurance. And every day, because I've been kind of like documenting what I'm doing, my healing, every day I get messages from people who are annoyed and angry with me because they're like, yeah, the real nice, this is great for you that you get to do this because you can afford to. And I'm going to continue showing them, because it is BS that these things aren't covered. It is BS that I have this option, because you know what? This option is actually, in the long run, going to be far less expensive than a surgery. Way less expensive. Far fewer risks. So if we're vocal enough about it, if people are educated, then maybe the system will change. But if no one's talking about it, and if no one's like doing the math, then it's never going to change. Listen, insurance companies just want to be profitable. I want my company to be profitable. I don't blame them for wanting to be profitable. Unfortunately, it's often at the expense of the patient and the reduction in wages to our physicians. But if we could just look at the numbers and go like, wow, you know what? We can save money if we teach people how to be healthy. We can be more profitable as an insurance company if we paid for more health-related care versus only paying for sick care, because that's the case right now. The only thing that's covered right now is sick care. Just ridiculous. Okay, I'm sorry. That's, I guess I was going to say I'm on a tangent. an off topic, but it's not off topic. This is 100% on topic. And I wanted to say all that before I mention the things that I'm going to do, because these things are expensive. But again, I want you to know they're expensive if you're not doing them, but they're not expensive relative to the cost of surgery and post-rehabilitation. So everything we do, everything he puts together for me is all based on cellular regeneration and stem cell regeneration. And that's, you know, the body's ability to heal is what makes it possible for us to regenerate tissues, is what makes it possible for that hamstring to reattach itself, hopefully, without surgery, right? So let me share with you what we have on the docket. First, I'll briefly cover everything that I'm doing, and then I'll go back in and explain in depth what each one is intended to do, and maybe a little bit of the research too. Now, I'm recording from my car, so I don't know how much of the research I'm going to remember off the top of my head, but I've got files. I will link to some of the studies in the show notes that you'll be able to find on my blog. So we write show notes for the podcast, and then typically I'll do a follow-up a couple days later with a blog post, and that's where you'll find links to the research, etc. All right, so ShaleenJohnson.com. Put a note on there if you're interested in like, what kind of science do you have to support this? Now, okay, so let me start. First things first, that is hyperbaric oxygen chamber treatment, also known as HBOT, H-B-O-T, HBOT, hyperbaric oxygen chamber treatment. This, again, I'll link to some research there. Quite a few other podcasters have talked about this, including Dave Asprey, a few others. The book that you would want to read on it is called The Oxygen Revolution. Can't remember the name of the author. So hyperbaric oxygen chamber treatments are easy. You're just laying down in a atmosphere-controlled environment, which it kind of looks like a, I hate to say this, but it kind of looks like a coffin almost, but it's glass. So if you're claustrophobic, even people with claustrophobia usually do, you know, well with it. They just do a short session their first time, and then they can extend it each time after that, because you are enclosed, but because of the glass, most people with claustrophobia just do okay with it. What they're doing is controlling atmospheric pressure. So you're in a pressurized cabin, if you will. It feels like about the same amount of pressure as you would feel like as your airplane is beginning to descend. So you definitely, as they're acclimating or pressurizing the container while you're in it, you're typically wearing a mask that has 100% pure oxygen in it. Okay, so it's not just that you're breathing pure oxygen, it's that you're in this pressurized environment that it forces the oxygenation, not just into your red blood cells, but into basically all tissues of your body. And as you know, oxygen is what our red blood cells deliver to all of our tissues to help keep them alive and healthy. So when you can oxygenate all of your tissues, and even to promote the healing properties of white blood cells, and you know, again, this is off the top of my head, so I'm going to share with you the science so you can look, if you're like, I don't know, I don't understand exactly, you'll be able to read some of those links on my blog post. But basically, this is an FDA-approved treatment for certain conditions. Those conditions include, if I'm not mistaken, again, off the top of my head, Alzheimer's, ADHD, carbon monoxide poisoning, a few other types of poisonings, and a few other types of brain-related disorders. Okay, now why would those things be covered and not others? Simply because they have enough testing that's been performed to be able to substantiate its effectiveness to be approved by the FDA. And by approved, I mean that many insurance companies will pay for that treatment for those FDA-approved, what do you call them, conditions, I guess? However, it's, you know, very well known that treating the body in such a way that it's, you're hyper-stimulating healing. What wouldn't that be helpful for? And I don't mean like, you know, improving healing properties in the way that food does. That's great, but it's also slower. It's also less powerful than oxygenating the blood, oxygenating all the tissues of the body. And the pressure really does matter. So if you're looking into this, just know that there is a pretty substantial difference between what's called a soft chamber and a hard chamber. and there's a significant difference in price as well. So the soft chambers aren't able to generate the same amount of atmospheric pressure. So in the soft chamber, the advantage is you can go in with your phone. In a hard chamber, you're just going in with a book or listening to an audio program, but you can't take any electronic devices in, nothing electronic can go inside, and you just lay there and you breathe. And people always say, what does it feel like? It feels like nothing. It would be like taking a nap on a plane and someone's saying, so how do you feel? You're like, I feel rested. I mean, you don't feel anything. It's really what I credit probably the biggest difference in my brain healing. And if you've seen those images, my SPECT scan, you can actually see the holes in my brain, and then you can see them kind of healed up. And I really do attribute that to, you know, a many number factors, but I'm telling you that hyperbaric oxygen chamber treatment, of all the things I'm going to share with you today, that's the one. If you have to prioritize your financial investment into healing, I would do that. And it also has an accumulative effect. So unlike other treatments where you have to keep going and going and going, or you start to lose the effects, this is healing. So it's not like you're going to regress unless you're doing something to regress. So it's cumulative. You could do, let's say you're trying to heal an injury or a brain trauma, or you're trying to repair your brain after chemotherapy or some other type of toxic exposure. You could do 10 sessions and then take a couple of weeks off. You're not going to regress. And then do 5 sessions. It's a cool thing. Anyways, so I'm doing that 5 days a week. 5 days a week. It's not excessive, but it's expensive. Let's put it that way. So that's 5 days a week. Those sessions are 1 hour. In addition to that, I am taking human growth hormone. Just a very minor amount. We produce human growth hormone naturally. So one way to increase human growth hormone is through fasting. And I considered, I talked to the doc about this. Fasting increases human growth hormone production, and that promotes cellular healing. That's why when we're young, we heal quicker. And that's why when we're not producing enough human growth, the body heals much more slowly. So we talked about human growth and me potentially doing some fasting right when I was injured to increase human growth production. But the issue with fasting is that's another stressor on the body. And my body was already under a lot of stress emotionally, right? Because, you know, I have this thing that happens, and that's emotional. And also physically, because it's trying to heal. So we decided it was not wise the first 2 weeks for me to fast. It would just be an additional stressor. Instead, we would supplement with a very low dose of human growth hormone, bioidentical. Okay. In addition to that, we decided to do a very low dose, about half of, no, not even half, a tenth of what a man might take if he were diagnosed with low T, low testosterone. So I'm doing a very low dose of testosterone. Again, bioidentical. And why? Why would I do testosterone? Again, muscle tissue repair, really key right now. Is that for everyone? Probably not. So in order to counterbalance the human growth and the testosterone and not experience any of the negative side effects, or for it to hyperstimulate or affect my hormone production of, you know, the healthy things like estrogen, which again, if you produce too much or too much estrone, that can throw your body out of whack and be very inflammatory. So it's just working with a specialist who understands how to monitor you and figure out how to, because everyone's different. So I'm not even going to tell you dosages, but I will just tell you that mine are really, really low, minuscule. And by the way, again, testosterone and human growth hormone both are produced when fasting. So my plan is to, once I am out of kind of this heightened cortisol state because of the injury, I will embark on a fast and then produce those hormones naturally by fasting. But I'm going to wait until my body says, okay, we're no longer under stress. So additional supplements to block some of the side effects from those hormones, I'm taking DIM, D-I-M, and another one, shoot, I can't remember the name of it, but I'll look it up. And then, of course, I'm doing methylated B because I have a genetic what do we call it, a genetic mutation, which most people have, the MTHFR gene mutation. I think most people do have it. Some people, it's the degree to which you have it. So I've got a pretty significant, again, not terribly uncommon, just a lot of people don't know it, which means you don't methylate properly, which means if you're going to do a B supplement, you want to do a methylated version. So I'm doing that. Plus, let's see, all my normal supplements. I'm just, you know, when you take supplements for your health, I'm sure this is true for everybody. There's just times where you're like, oh yeah, I ran out. Oh shoot, I forgot to refill that. And you let it slide. But right now, when I know healing is so critical, I'm really making sure I'm doing all of my supplements and that my nutrition is on point. Additional therapies include infrared sauna treatments 4 days a week. Okay, so that is putting my body into, and we have centers out here in California. We're so lucky, dude. We are so lucky. I am so sorry that you don't have these things yet in your area. But if you just call around and ask for them, then places realize there's a demand for them and they might even get them. So as a matter of fact, I just left getting a spray tan. Mm-hmm. Yep, she's injured, but she still needs to have, like, you know, I can't be looking all pasty white. Anyways, I just left my spray tanning location, and they just put an infrared sauna, one unit, into their location. I said, oh, this is cool. It's kind of different. And they're like, yeah, people were just asking about it. So there you go. Just ask for it. Anyways, I'm doing infrared sauna, and again, I'll link to the studies regarding the incredible health benefits. I remember hearing about that and cryotherapy and going, yeah, I don't know. That seems kind of silly. But, you know, when you look at the research, I think you'll be quite impressed with what we've found regarding infrared sauna treatments. So it's red light. I'm sitting in a room with a towel on. Out here we have these, they're kind of like, they look like a tanning sauna almost. You walk in, you give them your name, and you walk in your own little private room, and you have your own little private sauna, and you can watch TV, and you just sit there and you sweat it out. The room that I use goes up to 158 degrees, which sounds horrific, but see, it's meant to put your body under a little bit of stress. And it also really accelerates the heart rate. Now, the reason why I'm doing the infrared is twofold. Number one, the healing properties of the infrared light. Number two, the cardiovascular benefits of doing the heated sauna. So your heart rate gets accelerated, and right now I can't do cardio in the way that I would like to, and also helps to flush out toxins. Now, because of the injury, I have a lot of pooled blood in my left thigh, like a lot of it. And blood outside of where it's supposed to be is very aggravating and inflammatory. So like my left thigh, even though the injury now is almost 2 weeks old, yeah, it'll be 2 weeks tomorrow, my left thigh is still like 2 inches bigger than my right thigh. It's just terribly uncomfortable. I wouldn't call it painful. Like the pain, I don't feel pain unless I move the wrong way, but it just aches and it kind of throbs, and that's from what I understand from the blood that's just kind of working its way down from the injury. Like it was at the attachment right underneath my sits bone is where the muscle tore off. But the bruising was there initially, but it just keeps like dropping lower and lower and lower. So now the bruising is like behind my knee, which is so weird, and like moving down towards the calf. It's just kind of like working its way out. Very strange. But anyways, so the infrared helps with that. Additional therapies is I have an incredibly qualified acupuncturist who doesn't just do acupuncture, he does dry needling, cupping, and physical therapy. In just, you know, in the effort to be transparent, I haven't done a lot of research on dry needling and cupping. You know, obviously I've read the stories, I've talked to people who've done it, but when I say research, I mean, I really like to look at clinical studies where they've got, you know, a double blind and there's some randomized testing. You know, I just like to see that stuff, but that doesn't necessarily mean, even if I can't find any research on it, it doesn't mean I'm not going to try it. Like, I also use my common sense. Right? And I believe so much in Eastern healing practices. I believe so much in tapping into our body's ability to heal. And frankly, when you're talking about your body's ability to heal, you're not going to find many studies, because who's going to fund that? Right? Most of the studies are funded by drug companies. Who's going to fund a study where no one can profit from it? What we're funding is to prove the hypothesis that the body has these natural abilities to heal. Anyway, so I'm doing cupping, dry needling, and acupuncture, as well as physical therapy. And I do all of that in 1 hour and a half long session, 3 times a week. All right, in addition to that, I'm doing 2 times a week vibration massage therapy. So I have a sports massage therapist who is incredibly talented, knows so much about the body. She works with, usually with physicians and, you know, chiropractic care. So really super knowledgeable. I mean, the woman needs an MD after her name. She just knows so much about the body. Anyways, Laura and I, twice a week, I usually see her once a week, so I've just increased it by one. And we're focusing on vibration stimulation. So she uses a couple of different devices that just stimulate blood flow. And what does that do? Well, while we're oxygenating the bloodstream, while we're producing this heightened or increased amount of cellular regeneration, this increased amount of human growth production, this increased amount of, you know, antioxidants in the blood, we want all of that flowing. We want to stimulate those tissues, and we want to stimulate all the tissues around the damaged tissues so that we're kind of telling the body where to heal and how to heal and waking up muscles. And it just, oh, it actually feels really good. I got to tell you, really enjoy that. And so that's twice a week. Let me think if there's anything else I'm doing. Oh yeah. Next I'm doing glutathione in an IV drip. So what is glutathione? Glutathione is something your body, most of our bodies, well, all of our bodies produce naturally, but some of us have an impairment where we're not producing enough. And glutathione, very simply stated, it's a molecule. It's produced naturally and it's produced in your body. But basically what it is, it's like the building blocks of your cellular strength. It's protein or amino acids, and specifically, they are cysteine, glycine, and glutamine, right? And they are what provides all the power to your mitochondria. Normally, glutathione is recycled in the body, unless, of course, you have too much or there's some type of toxification going on, which a lot of people don't realize they have, and it's a result of just eating fake food and being exposed to all the environmental toxins. And I mean, do we need to get into all of that? But you know all the toxins that we're exposed to, and glutathione metabolism is also affected by our genetics, right? So this is a really essential piece to youth, to longevity, to cellular health. And what it does, glutathione in the right doses, is it creates more power and energy to our cells. Glutathione recycles antioxidants, okay? So all of us have free radicals. Think of them as like, I don't know, little poisons almost. Think it almost sounds like it, like free radicals, right? So think of free radicals as floating around in your body, in your bloodstream. Now, the reason why glutathione is so essential for healing is because research shows it helps us to peak mental and physical function. Research has shown that raised glutathione levels will actually decrease muscle damage, reduce recovery time, increase strength, increase endurance, and shift your metabolism from fat production to muscle development. It's also found that it reduces oxidative stress. And remember, oxidative stress is something, of course, you have if you've been over-exercising, again, environmental toxins, what type of diet you've eaten, etc. And just stress in general creates oxidative stress in the body. So is it necessary? No. Do I feel like it's just why not just stack it? And the reason why I can do that, again, it just is what it is, because financially I can afford to. By the way, with glutathione, there's lots and lots of little, they're like IV stations that have popped up all over the place where they're promising you IV-based supplements like glutathione, vitamin B, you know, these, what do they call them, headache or hangover detoxifying IVs. I'm parked now. I'm at my home, but I'll finish this up. So be wary of those. ask for the dosages. Do your research, because a lot of those have just popped up on every corner out here in California, almost as many of them as you see nail salons, and they're not regulated, and they're oftentimes not a doctor that's facilitating them. They're not doing any testing prior to giving you any of these supplements, and they can do that because they're giving you trace amounts. It's very unlikely that they're going to actually tell you the milligrams or what exact dosages they're giving you in those bags, because they're giving you trace amounts, and that's how they can afford to do it. And they can say, oh, it's got vitamin B, and it's got glutathione, it's got that, and you're like, hey, and then it's like placebo effect. No, go to an integrative medical professional. Don't mess around with these people that are opening up on every single corner and aren't doing any testing on you to figure out if in fact this is even safe or needed before they administer this type of IV supplementation. So be very wary. So I'm doing that under medical supervision. I'm doing that with my functional medical doctor, and I'm doing this to boost healing. And it's just one additional piece. In addition to that, I'm trying to get additional sleep, and I'm trying to read, and I have actually even been looking to see if I could have someone come to the house and do in-house meditation with me. Why? I know how to meditate. For the accountability, right? The downside of all of this is it takes a freaking ton of time. The glutathione push I'm doing 1 to 2 times a week. So if you've added it all up, there's a minimum of about 2.5 to 3 hours, on average 3 hours of therapies per day. Again, that might sound excessive, maybe it is, but I'm trying to speed up the process. And as of yesterday's appointment with my orthopedic surgeon and an evaluation of my hamstring, not without an MRI, so it's just a physical exam, he said, you are 100% 1 month ahead of where someone would be if they weren't doing these things. 1 month ahead. That's crazy. And I'm only 2 weeks in. I can already walk without crutches. I can already go down the stairs without limping. I can almost walk without limping. I obviously can bear weight on that leg. I can balance on that leg. I can't squat. I can't take my leg straight and lift my heel up with my leg straight. I can do like a lot that I would never have expected I could do by this point. And on top of that, I feel great because I'm doing all of these additional things that are just going to make you healthier. So, you know, if I was a freak about biohacking, which let's face it, there are a few podcasters out there who are, they do this kind of stuff every day. And to me, that feels a little excessive. Like I got to be able to live too. I can't imagine doing this indefinitely. My goal is to do this for 6 weeks, to maintain the schedule for 6 weeks. And I've looked at the numbers. At 6 weeks, it's probably going to be in about the neighborhood of roughly $10,000 to $11,000. Now that's kind of crazy. But when you think about what I would have to spend for a surgery, and then on top of that, another 6 to 8 weeks of rehabilitation, which might not be 3 hours per day, but it's going to at least be an hour and a half, right? I'm still coming out ahead, and I'm not having to go under the knife. That was me knocking on wood. Knock on wood, I don't have to go under the knife. I am very much aware of the fact that I might heal to a certain point and then plateau and realize that the surgery is necessary. And if that's the case, then at least I'm healthier for that, right? Because everything I'm doing is to promote cellular healing. And that's like approaching, it's taking a longevity approach to my wellness instead of a, what do I look like in an Instagram post? Because you can't see health in an Instagram post. You just can't. So I'm trying to approach it from the standpoint of inside out. I hope you found this interesting. Again, I just want to reiterate that I will include links and more information on where you can look to see your own research in my blog post on ShaleenJohnson.com. And I also want to say that if I had to pick one thing, like one expense, I would say hyperbaric oxygen chamber treatment. That's my personal pick. Others might say it's something else, but I really think it's that powerful. I've seen so many people experience rapid healing, from Bell's palsy to torn shoulders. People are now using it to recover from plastic surgery, Alzheimer's, ADHD, children with autism. In fact, I've seen parents will go in the booth. So by the way, the hyperbaric oxygen, that can be a bed where you lay down, or they have one that's kind of like a reclined chamber. I posted a video of me going into that. In fact, I'll put it up on the blog too. And that one, I will see parents sitting in the chamber, and then they'll have their child on their lap because it could probably be kind of scary. And then the child just watches through the glass. They wear headphones and they just watch like a cartoon or a movie or something. And the children I've seen doing it seem quite fine. They don't seem distressed at all. So there's a lot of research. Look into it. Look into alternative forms of healing. Not every form of healing needs to be under anesthesia with a scalpel. Not all healing has to come in the form of medicine. Like, we don't have to get a prescription for healing. There's so many things our bodies can do naturally. And just do your research. That's not to say that medical interventions aren't 100% required. And even in my own situation, I might need that. But let's see what the body can do first. I hope this is helpful to you. Reach out to me and let me know how it was. If so, leave me a voice note. You can do that by going to shaleenjohnson.com/podcast and hit me up. I love hearing from you. You can talk about this episode or previous episode, your smart life push journal, maybe how the water bottles have changed your habits, maybe the 131. Just talk to me, people. I love you. You are thebomb.com. And I look forward to spending some time with you again soon. I love you. And I mean it. This edition of The Chalene Show was brought to you by 131 Movement. Stop dieting. Save your brain. Save your gut. Live longer. Feel better. Stop going on a diet or following somebody else's rules and figure out what it means to have your own diet. Figure out a method that actually serves you, that helps you to be a better version of yourself. Let go of all of this craziness and confusion that surrounds diet and understand the science of one, the study of one. Join the 131 movement today. We're taking back the word diet and getting what we are rightfully entitled to, which is our health. You deserve not just to look amazing, but to feel amazing. I'd love for you to learn more about my personal journey and why this is a true passion for me. I invite you to learn more by going to 131movement.com.
Say goodbye to your credit card rewards. Greedy corporate mega stores, led by Walmart and Target, are pushing for a law in Congress to take away your hard-earned cash back and travel points to line their pockets. The Durbin-Marshall credit card bill would enact harmful credit card routing mandates that would end credit card rewards as we know it. If you love your credit card rewards, tell your lawmakers, hands off my rewards. Tell them to oppose the Durbin-Marshall credit card bill.